Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, netizens around the world. The plan is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E. McWilliams Cyberline coming at you round and round the world by the internet and coast to coast by satellite. USA Radio Network.
Hey, how many times around the world?
Round and round and round we go. Where she stops, nobody knows.
There you go.
As Julia Sumner Miller pronounces, why is it so? All right, greetings and welcome to hour two. So, we were talking about this during the break, so we definitely want to talk about it. WhatsApp has been something people are using, and of course, Facebook owns them now. And Facebook had come up and said something to the effect of, well, if you're going to use WhatsApp, then you need to be tracked by Facebook, and if you don't, then you can't use it. So, what did the people do, Bob?
Well, they flocked. They went over as quick as they could. They went from, especially after Elon Musk had said, hey, use Signal. So that's all he tweeted. And then 40 million people, like, all of a sudden jump on these servers over there. You've got WhatsApp and then Elon Musk, too. They're both kind of saying, you know, they released their terms of service, and Elon Musk says, I'm not going to deal with those terms of service. I'm going over to use Signal. And Signal is a great messaging app for if those of you, if you've got a, use your instant messenger on your text messages on your phone, either iOS or Android, you can download the Signal app. And what does it do? It encrypts all your texting for you. So when you text from you to your friend, if I text something from me to Mick, you can be sure that it's encrypted. Much, much harder for the anyone to look at those texts. So I hope they stay that way. But
yeah, until Google or Apple decide to, you know, take them off the systems.
Well, yeah, boy, they've sure got a lot of users for that to happen. I don't know if that would or not, but yeah, you get to text from person to person. So Elon Musk tweeted that out, and you saw this is what interestingly happened. You had a user base of about 10 million users, is my understanding, over at Signal, and it went from 10 million to 50 million users. Well,
back up.
10 million to 50 million.
That's what I thought you said, 10 million to 50 million.
Uh-huh.
And holy crap.
And what it did is it buckled their servers. They're like, oh, my gosh, you know, I didn't expect this kind of traffic. And they were like, you know, the servers are freaking out. And it's like, you're working me too hard. And
They
slowed down and they had to stop for a little while. And, you know, they had to basically add more servers to get these things going. But, yeah, it's back up now. But, wow, surprisingly crushing weight of all these users that – said, you're going to start taking my information? What? no, you're not, and just jumped over and went over to Signal. So it's a great application. It really interfaces just as your texting, your SMS, whatever your messaging app is on your phone. It just replaces it, and you start using that instead.
Yeah, and there was a same thing with Gab last week. Gab was up and down because people were jumping ship over to Gab. And it turned out that Gab had the similar problem with all of these guys before that Parler was going through. And so to avoid it, they basically created their own server network. They have their own server farm.
Huh.
But you don't have them on Apple, the store, and you don't have them on Google Play because they won't let them up there because they won't play nice with them.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? No big deal. So you can get in and use it through the web. And I believe there's also some sideways apps that they have that you can go in and plug in and be able to use it on your phone or your tablet and bypass Google and bypass Apple. And that's something I want to talk about. You know, I kind of owe you an apology.
Oh, why is that?
Well, you remember some months ago, we had talked about how Apple was being sued by the developers and the cut that they got.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it, like 70-30 or something like that? And I had said, well...
Oh, that's right.
You're running down the servers. You know, it's like when you get a band together, whatever, you can have an agent. Well, it used to be the band got paid and the agent got 10% of the cut and what they offer and everything. 70-30, I thought, was, you know, quite fine. But after the power that I have now seen that these two are able to hold over, plus they're the only two operating systems, maybe I think there's a phone coming out, we might even seen it during CES stuff that we were looking at, that runs off of Linux.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a Linux store. And there's a lot of apps and stuff out there that probably won't go to it. And of course, we had BlackBerry and they're gone because of these two. And Microsoft has tried to do stuff and couldn't. They got out of it. And there was Epic, which was actually, or what was the one that Nokia used to use? Symbian, that was it, which was Epic, which was part of Psion. And they had their little store too little too late. And then they dropped ship. And now all the Nokia phones are Android.
Uh-huh.
And so it's either Android or it's Apple. I think that there needs to be somebody out there that needs to start stores and be for Apple, Google, or both, and have all these people that get rejected by Apple or have run-ins with Apple say, you know what, come on over here. We'll make you a nice deal. We take a cut. We're not going to rob you. You'll be able to get out. People will be able to download the program onto their phone and be able to get the apps over here.
Uh-huh.
I think we need to have other stores more than just Google and iPhone.
You know, that's true. I'd love it, but that's not the only issue that happened with this Parler, for instance. And the Parler, they got shut down because AWS took them off. And remember, this didn't happen before the show last week.
Yeah.
It was after we left the show and we found out, that's when I found out about it, was later that night or maybe early the next morning. I think it was early the next morning.
I think it was Sunday.
I found out that they were about to shut down. That AWS was going to take them off. And I was like going, man, that, you know, you can't do anything if you have no computers to run on.
Right.
So I got to tell you, another thing that Elon Musk said, I'm not sure if you heard this, but there was a tweet out from, let's see, the Babylon Bee.
Oh, God, yes.
And the Babylon Bee says, evil fascist dictator censored and voted out of office. And it's, you know, shows a picture of Donald Trump and American flag in the background and his audience, you know, so many people that were there. So it shows that Elon Musk replied to that. He says, a lot of people are going to be super unhappy with West Coast high tech as the de facto arbiter of free speech. It's all he said, but it was enough that you're sitting there going, hey, you know, who is responsible for free speech in this country anymore?
Yeah.
And I would like it to be, you know, we do have that First Amendment in our Constitution. Now, granted, the First Amendment applies to Congress. It says Congress shall pass no law with respect to the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or, yeah, I don't have it in front of me, or freedom of the people to peaceably assemble, freedom of the speech, freedom of the press. You know, those things are in there, and I can probably look it up during break. But nonetheless, it says, you know, freedom of speech right. in the First Amendment.
And this is the thing that's driving me nuts. I'm sick and tired of seeing these idiots come up. Well, you know, you guys were upset with that whole cake bakery and gay thing. And, you know, that was that way. So this is the same. No, it is not. It is not the same. And the reason it's not the same is when you go to a cake decorator, first off, they got it wrong. They were, I forget what they called it, but basically you're commissioning. You're going to somebody say, I'm going to commission you to bake me a cake and decorate it. Or I'm going to commission you to take pictures of us at the wedding or whatever and do the photography. Well, that's what it is. It's a commission. You're getting paid. And that person can make a choice of, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. Or I'm too busy. I don't have time right now or whatever the case may be. But that's what that is. This is not that. What this is freedom of speech. And it is a company who puts itself out as a platform. And again, Section 230 comes into it. It has nothing to do with baking cakes. And even if you do use the cake analogy, guess what? The cakes are there a blank. If the person wasn't going to do it, you could go buy your own cake in there and take it home and decorate it yourself or commission someone else to decorate it. You were not locked out of the store because of, you know, your speech or that you were gay or purple or whatever the case may be. That's not the same as this. This is about whether you are a publisher or a platform. If you're a platform, then you're not supposed to be censoring people. If you're a publisher, then you have that right. You cannot sit on the fence between the two. You either are one or the other.
Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing, too, is, you know, we've got the Congress out there, and they're passing these laws with respect to this. And okay. Have they passed a law specifically that says you can't do this on this platform? No, they really they haven't. But what's ended up happening is there's such a thin layer between the government nowadays and Google or the internet. You've got so much control by Google, Amazon, Facebook, Twitter. Those really control a lot
now,
of the speech that everybody sees every day.
Moving, and now you're moving into a whole nother realm because, yeah, we can go with platform publisher. But like I said before, there's only two people that have control over this, and that's Google and Apple. There's only two OSs, like Beta and VHS. But the difference here is, you know, you can take a VHS tape or a Beta tape and pretty much do whatever you want with it, including making copies of things, even though they might be illegal or whatever. But still, you can still record a television program. But you don't have competition anymore with BlackBerry, Windows, or wherever. And now you have control of that. Then you have somebody else who's monopolizing the servers because you have all these different servers there, but they all come back to the big boys. It's either going to be Google servers or it's going to be Amazon servers. And those are monopolies. Those are tight controls that need to be dealt with either by laws or breaking them up.
And I have a very difficult time thinking that over the next 4 years, we're actually going to see anything but tighter restrictions. How can we see anything else but
78 million people are not happy with this election. 100,000 of them supposedly dropped on to Washington, D.C. And let's remember, that wasn't easy. There's people out of work that drove there in their cars. Some of them even stayed in their cars because they didn't have a hotel. Some flew. Some came by bus. Believe me, if they can touch them again, they'll do it. Now, mind you, they won't want to go crashing in and messing stuff up. But they touched that door and gave them a warning and said, you know what? We don't care about you feared for your life. We've been in fear for quite a long time, wondering how we're going to make ends meet. And you guys haven't done crap for us. So don't think they can't turn around and do it again. So we'll have to wait and see how this all plays out. But we're going to definitely have to get in front of them and let them know that we all mean business, whether it means getting Pelosi out of the speakership or coming down on people and making sure that this stuff does not get played out by the oligarchs. We'll be right back. Echoing Cyberline, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US, host 2020 at cyber-line.com. Also, facebook.com/cyberlinenet until they censor us, or the Tweety at cyberlineusa until they censor us. So we were talking during the break, looking at stuff, and I just found this. Turns out that David Hasselhoff is auctioning off his personal kit car from the iconic Knight Rider series.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It says, vehicle similar to the kit car used by the character Michael Knight, but it was not used in production, according to an auction site. Unfortunately, this version of the car does not talk.
What?
Yeah. Fully functional.
Come on.
It's fully functional with the brilliantly colorful illuminated dash and console that would be immediately identifiable to Knight Rider fans, according to Diligent Auctions, which is handling the sale. Current bid for the car is nearly $500,000, exceeding the predicted estimate of $175,000 to $300,000. Has an added bonus if the winning bid is 25% over the reserve price, 68-year-old actor will personally deliver the car to the new owner. If car is out of your price range and up for auction is a toy pedal version of the car, autographed by Hasselhoff, it is currently listed for more than $1,000 above the $400 to $500 pre-auction estimate. Auction site notes that it needs a little TLC to work properly. Part of an auction of memorabilia by Hasselhoff includes wardrobe, awards, scripts, toys, autographed items from his acting career, and the auction ends on the 23rd. Of course, for those of you who don't know, Knight Rider aired on NBC for four seasons from 1982 to 86. Hasselhoff was the main character, but the car was as much a star of the show as he was, and in the series, Kit was a supercomputer-powered car that was voice-activated, autonomous, and equipped with advanced surveillance technology that helped it detect nearby obstacles. Do you remember what Kit stood for?
I would be intelligent. Do not know. What?
Knight Industries 2000.
No, I did not know that.
And, of course, it's the role that put him on the map, and after that, he was in Baywatch. But do you remember who the voice of the car was?
Yes, it was the guy on Magnum PI, but I forget his name.
No.
No?
You're close, though, because a lot of people think it's him, but it's not. It was William Daniels.
Really?
Right, but he went on to be in a show that was just as popular, but he was actually him in the show and not a voice. And that was Boy Meets World, and he played the teacher to the two boys that were the stars in it.
Huh. No, so, I had no idea. I had always thought it was, Higgins.
Yeah, I know who you're thinking of, but it wasn't him. And I'm trying to remember if William Daniels passed away, because he's pretty well up there.
You know, I'm looking at the interior of the vehicle. It's, you know, you easily findable out there. Just go look at images and find Knight Rider interior, and that's all you need to find to look it up. And it's pretty darn impressive for a vehicle. Now, one of the interesting things that I only know because Elon Musk was trying to test out a car, or someone was trying to test out a car that has handles, but it doesn't have a full circle on there.
Yeah.
You look at the steering wheel on this thing, it's got grips on the right and left side, but it doesn't have a circular steering wheel. So I would suspect it's not actually street legal, but don't know the rules. I would think it needs to be a circular steering wheel. But you look at the rest of it, and there's all these LEDs on there. They did a very impressive job of making this a very high-tech looking interior for when it came out. What was in the 80s?
Yeah, the beginning of the 80s. Now, yeah. I'm looking at William Daniels, and he's still alive. He was born in 1927.
Uh-huh.
He's about 90-something. He's got a birthday coming up March 31st. And he was also in St. Elsewhere. That was where he started. He played a doctor. And, of course, was the voice. I don't know. I don't ever think he was credited in the show as being the voice. I think he got a non-credit, but he definitely was it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Listen to Mick Williams Cyberline.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.